Every week is fresh from the Lord.
No repeats.
No reruns. So while you're working your way to 1 Corinthians 12, we've talked in the past about how we're living in the times of the great apostasy, and that must happen before Jesus returns. And we've looked at some of the impact of that on the church and society. And as a result of that apostasy, the church has gotten a little off track. We've gotten into extremes, one side or the other, and a lot of false teaching has come in to the the Christian sphere through YouTube, for example, and Facebook and the internet. And there's a lot of things that are taught that are just taken out to an extreme where it's not biblical anymore, such as, it's always God's will for us to be healed.
And rich.
And rich, yeah. And good looking.
Yeah. And what are you saying?
And some will say we have power over heaven. In other words, we can supersede. And these might not be their very words, but that's the message. Some will say, we are miracle makers. Some will say, we can manifest signs and wonders rather than God working through us. Some will say, we can appropriate God's power for our personal desires. In other words, we can supersede his will. We can manipulate him. Some will say, we can determine when Jesus will return. Except that's not what God says. No man knows. So, Jesus does say, though, that grace is enough. And my question for us this morning is grace enough? Grace is, there's a lot of definitions for grace, but in Scripture, one of them is that it's the unmerited favor of God. In other words, none of us deserve or earn God's favor. Some will say grace is that empowering presence of God working in and through us to empower us to do the things that he's called us to do. Webster's Dictionary, the 1828, says it's the favorable influence of God, the divine influence or the influence of the Spirit in renewing the heart and restraining us from sin. And that is what we need to be held back from sin. We need the Holy Spirit working in and through us, drawing us. We need to love Jesus. We need to love God. If we don't love him, we really don't care if we're going to sin.
Apologies. When he says my grace is enough, would he be saying his like acknowledging what he's doing in your life being enough? As long as you're acknowledging his presence, like his influence?
Well, I think it starts there, but I think what we're going to find out this morning goes well beyond that. So hang on to that and see where that takes us. So I want to just challenge you and ask the question, is grace enough? Is it enough? Next slide. First, I want to take just a quick survey of some miracles that Paul did in Acts. Actually, I should say God did through Paul. If you'll turn to Acts chapter 13. Acts 13.
Acts
13, verse 11. Now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and not see the sun for a time. And immediately a mist and a darkness fell upon him. And he who went about seeking those who would lead him by hand. So this is what Paul said to this guy. So God working through Paul caused this guy to be blind. Turn to chapter 14, verse 10. And again, Paul speaking. He said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." And he leaped up and he began to walk. So a miracle. The guy was able to walk again. Acts 16, verse 18. So Paul and Silas were walking around, and there's this girl following them, shouting out, these men are bondservants of Most High God, who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation. Sounds okay, sounds right. But she continued doing this for many days, and Paul was greatly annoyed and turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of here." And it came out at that very moment. God was working mightily. God gave Paul discernment to see what the spiritual moment was. Acts 19.
Even if he was irritated.
Yeah.
I love that.
Acts 19, verse 11 and 12. And here again, God was performing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that handkerchiefs or aprons were even carried from his body to the sick. And the diseases left them, and evil spirits went out. And then to chapter 20, verses 9 and 10.
That's incredible.
Chapter 20, 9 and 10. And there was a young man named Eutychus sitting on the windowsill, sinking into a deep sleep. And as Paul kept on talking, he was overcome by sleep, and he fell down from the third floor and was picked up dead. But Paul went down and fell upon him, and after embracing him, said, "Do not be troubled, for his life is in him." Miraculous.
The miraculous thing is Paul actually saved the guy who fell asleep doing the sermon.
I know. I wouldn't count on me being able to do that. It might work, but...
sure you would.
Sure you would. Hey, you carried a young lady over the mud so her shoes wouldn't get muddy today. Of course you would.
Carrying her to Jesus.
To carry her.
Okay, last one, chapter 28. Verses 3 through 5. 28, 3 through 5. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened itself on his hand. And when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they began saying to one another, "Undoubtedly this man is a murderer. And though he has been saved from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." However, he shook the creature off into the fire and suffered no harm. But they were expecting him to swell up or suddenly fall dead.
Last time you said that one, that there was a snake on my front screen door. No calling snakes in, please.
In verse 8, and it happened that the father of Publius was lying in bed, afflicted with recurrent fever and dysentery, and Paul went in to see him, and after he had prayed, he laid his hands on him and healed him. Now, this is just kind of a quick summary of Paul's life during these few short years in Acts when the church was being born, when he's going around planting churches and revisiting churches. And so we see that Paul had this incredible faith. He was totally surrendered to God. God was working through him in miraculous ways. And we might think, wow, God is just, nothing is going to go wrong for this guy. I mean, he can do no wrong. Everywhere he goes, God is working and doing a miracle. The guy can't have any problems. Surely he doesn't have any problems. Well, turn to the right just a couple books to 2 Corinthians, chapter 12. So we find Paul just a short time later, and he's got an issue. And remember, we just spent time looking at Paul, who was just really dedicated to the Lord and doing everything that the Lord wants. And what happens here? In chapter 12, verse 7, Paul says, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, in other words, Paul was being shown things that were just beyond what he could express. In fact, he just said these things were beyond what man could express, these things that he heard and he saw in these visions. And this is just an abundant way of God working in this man's life. And here again, we think, oh, this guy, nothing's ever going to go bad for this guy. For this reason, I'm in chapter 7, verse 7 still, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. So, Paul, you can imagine how when God is working through you in so many miraculous ways, there could be a possibility that we could get a little proud. We could get a little arrogant. We could think, whoa, maybe I am God. Maybe I control God, the power. I mean, no telling where a brain can go in that. So Paul's saying, you know, God knew. He knew that I had this in me, that I could become proud. And so in his mercy, in his grace, he gave me this thorn in my flesh to keep me from getting exalted or exalting myself.
Incredible.
And, you know, if we're always encouraging each other to just get out there and serve God in faith and just do things that just seem impossible, but just get out and do them. And we're surprised sometimes when things fight back.
Excuse me. That failure I had this past week, of course, that's the guy that I've invited repeatedly to come to church. Okay? And you know what? I truly believe that maybe in, what, April or May or June, whenever the water recedes, that we'll be able to wrap this up. And my witness needs to be enough to where after we're done with this fiasco, that I can look at him and continue to invite him to church.
Amen.
And that's frightening stuff.
Bless you.
Verse 9, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness.
Amen.
Think about that. You know, when we're feeling beat up, beat down, our weakest, when we feel like we can't resist the temptations and we do want to cuss and the words are in our brain. And maybe they even come out. We're feeling weak. And we start to question God. Wait a minute, God, where are you? How come you're not working this out for me? You know, I've got faith. But God wants us to give him the glory, not ourselves.
Amen.
And when we're weak, like I said earlier, we are a miracle in the waiting. You know, we're a place where God can do a miracle and get credit for it instead of us getting credit for having made it happen. So he says, my grace is sufficient for you. The power is perfected in weakness. It is his power that's perfected in our weakness. And that's why I feel like that song, what's her first name?
Lauren Daigle.
That we say earlier. You say, you know, I mean, she's expressing that yeah. I'm weak, but no, you're saved.
That's fine.
Amen. Verse 9, most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses. That's the last thing any of us boast about.
Yep.
So that in the power of Christ may dwell in me. And look, if we had no problems, and if we had the magic touch and everything we wanted to do, we could do, and we never had problems, how does Christ get any credit? How is that a witness that he's dwelling in us? But when we are weak, when we're beaten down, then he can get some credit for what he rightly deserves.
Amen. Good stuff.
10. Oh, wait, we're going just through 9. So, you know, it's a fair question. Why wouldn't God take this thorn in the flesh away from Paul? And when we pray, sometimes we have problems, we have illnesses, we have a thorn in the flesh. It might be our neighbor, it might be your spouse, it might be work. But we can have a thorn in the flesh, and it's constantly there. You know, it's just that constant, steady pain. It just keeps us remembering it's there. So, what can we expect God to do? Well, you know, Paul said he prayed 3 times, and Jesus came back with the answer, oh, whoa, my grace is sufficient for you. Now, you know, we're thinking, Paul, now anybody could pray, God would answer, be Paul. I mean, he knows how to pray.
So you don't build up prayer credits, is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, credits. So, you know, some reasons why God won't take it away, both for Paul and for us, is that he causes us to be humble so that we have need. In other words, he wants to create need in us. He wants to create that desire in us that we need him, that we want him.
Preach it. That's right.
And the second one is he wants to caution us against presumption in prayer. Presumption in prayer. You know, we can't tell God what to do. And we can get to that point in prayer.
Oh.
And sometimes, you know, maybe it's just innocent confidence, if there's such a thing. And we want to believe, and we know God's capable, but sometimes maybe we presume upon him because it's not his will. Really, what we should do is check in with him. God, what is your will in this matter?
Preach it.
And he has said that that's the purpose of the Holy Spirit, to go up to heaven and check with God and bring back the answer so that we're praying the right way.
That's right.
And the third reason is to exalt or exhibit the all-sufficiency of God's grace.
Hallelujah, that's right.
All-sufficiency of God's grace. It is enough. But we're probably not there in this message yet, in believing that it's enough. So let's jump back a little bit to see who we're talking about here. Paul. Jump back in 2 Corinthians to chapter 11, just one chapter to the left. 2 Corinthians 11. And we read about how Paul had been used for many extraordinary miracles. But now we're going to read kind of a summary of his ministry life and see if it strikes you as a little bit odd in the fact of all these miracles we read about connected with Paul. Verse 23, chapter 11, 23. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so, in far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. That's the kind where they throw rocks at them. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked.
He's trying to be the crazy.
3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was spent in the deep. I've been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, extreme danger in Aspen Springs, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I've been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights and hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there's the daily pressure of me, on me, of concern for all the churches. Who is weak without me being weak? In other words, he feels what the people in the church felt. Who is led into sin without my intense concern? Do we have intense concern for our brothers and sisters when they're led into sin? Or do we just say, we'll watch what happens? Or 30, if I have to boast, I will boast of what pertains to my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, he who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the ethnarch under Aretas, the king, was guarding the city of Damascus in order to seize me. And I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and so escaped his hands. That's a summation of his ministry. It doesn't look like it was all bubblegum and unicorns.
Right. Three-piece suits.
Yeah. I mean, he went through it willingly. So what happened in his life after all of this ministry, after seeing all these bumps and bruises and scars? What became of his character? And a little bit later, he expresses it. Turn to your right just a couple books to Philippians. And we've been talking about God's promises, and this is one of them that we should have in our heart, in our mind. Philippians 4, verses 11 through 13. Philippians 4, are you there?
Okay.
So that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Oh, wait, I'm at chapter 3. Whoops. Chapter 4, verse 11. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. Can you say that? Can you say that to the Lord? Can you say that in your spirit, that I am content
in whatever
circumstances?
You know, the exact opposite of that is the rock version song.
I can't get no
satisfaction.
Yeah. And that's why. Verse 12, I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me.
Amen.
This is the character that was built out of somebody enjoying God working miraculously through him, but also getting attacked and beaten, thrown overboard. And yet, he was still content. Is grace enough?
Yes.
Is grace enough?
Yes.
Most of the time, a bunch of us would be dialing up an attorney to sue somebody.
Absolutely.
Man, it's incredible.
So Jesus' brother James tells us that God is opposed to the proud, but gives a greater grace to the humble.
Mm-hmm.
So, when we're weak, when we're humble, expect God to be showing up,
mm-hmm.
giving you a greater grace. Is grace enough? Well, is there something in Paul's victories and his struggles for us? Is there something that we can pick up out of that and use for our life?
Yeah, I do all the time. I count my scars and metal and artificial replacement parts, and I think, you got me through it all.
Yeah.
And it's still working on me.
Amen.
I missed that verse, suck it up, buttercup.
So let's test this question, is grace enough? Let's test the sufficiency of grace. Would you be content If God did nothing more than save us from hell, could anyone complain?
No.
Would you be content if God's only gift to you were the grace to save you? Amen. Would you be content if God said you had to go to church in the sheep barn? And what if his answer is, my grace is enough? Would you be content if you plead with him to keep your business afloat, and yet it doesn't? Would you be content?
I will be done.
Would you be content if you beg him to save the life of your child, and he doesn't? Would you be content?
Yes.
Would you be content if you implore him to remove the cancer from your body, and he doesn't? Would you be content if you only had food and covering? So the challenge is, if you're having a hard time saying yeah, amen, is your faith in him only because of the earthly rewards that you receive? That's the challenge. Is grace enough?
You should be wearing boxing gloves, man.
I think I need a bulletproof vest. At some point, church is over. So, if you're still struggling with, yeah, grace is enough, the question we have to ask is your faith in some of the wrong things? Is it in a trouble-free life? Do you think that just because you're in Christ, you're going to have a trouble-free life? Is your faith in your personal spiritual power? You know, you look at Paul and say, wow, I can do that. Is your faith in you being the master of your own fate? You know, that's an American disease that we have. We so often think we're the master of our own fate. Is your faith in a pain-free life? Do you feel entitled to never have pain, to never have disease, because you're a follower of Christ?
Wow.
Is your faith in yourself, that you're your own God? And if this were Christianity, what would that produce? That would produce a miserable, wretched person. Amen?
Boastful person. Prideful person.
Yes. Our faith should be in Jesus. Jesus crucified. Jesus risen. It's because of his resurrection that we have something to boast about.
Hallelujah.
We boast in
That's
his
right.
resurrection. Amen. We want to fellowship in his sufferings.
You know, Pastor, that's with the we, you know,
speechless.
That's unheard.
Yeah.
No, the trying to reconcile that fact, okay, of just, you know, your grace is sufficient, and then trying to. Trying to move forward in our lives with stuff that we want to progress and do better. I mean, that's, you know, man, I mean, how does that work?
Yeah.
I mean, Carla busts my chops all the time. She goes, okay, well, you got that. Now what are you going to want? and that's true. And it's like, okay, well, but okay, God, I don't have to have that. If you want to bring it, well then, you know, how can I serve you? What, you know, how?
He's testing your heart. He's asking you, would you be content if he didn't give it to you?
Yeah.
Is his grace enough? And you have to be able to answer yes before that thing comes.
Well, I had to do that for Carla, for sure. And I had to do that for Boaz, for sure. And so I hate the struggle in front of everything. I really do. Yeah.
I feel he's gotten me through so so many straits and dire circumstances that if there are boats in the road and things happening, fine, I'll take it. Whatever you're going to give me is fine.
Awesome. That's where God wants our hearts to be.
But God gives us those lessons, though, of when he shows up and makes the way perfectly clear. Nate and I were talking about that yesterday morning. You know, when it was like, okay, God, should I send the drill rig to my son? And you were a part of that. You went to court with me over that. Okay?
Full service pastor.
Yeah. Carrying damsels across the mud, going to court with people. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so... And I mean, in 3 weeks, in a time we could never afford it, a time my son could never afford it, the rig shows up in California with just a miracle after miracle after miracle. So, you know, so then Dayton and I are exploring yesterday a lot of moving forward on a lot of stuff, just brainstorming things, just throwing it out there. And then finally it comes down to, right? Look, I know when God moved us forward before, and I need to be in my 40 years as Moses until God wants to move me to the next level. And that's that, right? Right?
Indeed.
Yeah. So,
go ahead. Two things keep jumping out at me from the beginning of the sermon on. The first is, whenever you get self, it doesn't go well. Whenever you're thinking out of self, it goes so much better. I mean, it's just... Time and time again, when the main meter goes over to the south side, it just starts backfiring and trouble. And the other thing is that hindsight's 20/20, and that I see all the time things that happen in the past that it just becomes all of a sudden like on a golf course, you see the line to get the ball in the hole. Well, I see the line backwards to... He did this to go here to then have this happen here. Mm-hmm. And if that hadn't happened, this wouldn't have happened. And this was a blessing. Those seem like burdens and trials, but it got me to where I am now. And you don't always see it. And sometimes you wonder why. And I don't know if I'd see the line so well if I was in the trials of Paul. Being stoned and whipped, and that's just unbelievable. But... you know, with the mile of tromping we get in life, it just seems every time if you just get out of the way, if you trust in Him and think of others instead of yourself, He just will do the right thing. Amen.
That's what we're called to down self. That's what stops everything that God wants for us, is our own selves, our own will. When we get out of the way,
I think one thing that I tend to realize fairly often, especially having gone from where I was at, you know, probably about 3 years ago to where I'm at now, and my parents may attest to this, is God gave you everything you have, and He can take it away just as easily. And He gave you the ability to do everything you can do, and you can definitely augment that by learning and not just sitting on your butt. But you have to put in the effort. And that's something that I realize every single day is, hey, I can get up, I can most days actually physically get off my butt. And I can learn and I can appreciate everything that's been given to me because it can just as easily be taken away. And I've had that happen to me once before. And if you think of it that way, it makes things a little clearer for me.
Well, this is the scripture we want to just soak into our heart and walk away with this one today. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, and with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.
Amen.
So say goodbye to defeat, self-pity, depression, and in Christ, hello to hope.
Amen.
Say goodbye to aimlessness, no purpose, and hello in Christ to purpose. Yes, Jesus says, my grace is sufficient for you. For power is perfected in weakness.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 Yes.
Thank you.
It's been rough on me, that's for sure.
Trying to get,
we're only human, but trying to keep a grip, but I'm proud of myself because I've been going through a little pity, self-pity and depression over a truck and all, but way back in my younger years, I would be going ballistic, and I don't have to find the words to cuss, and they're there. I made up so many combinations, it's unbelievable.
So when you go home, put it above your door, grace is enough. Or yes, grace is enough. Let's gather around and pray for one another.
You know, you said you get
the main one. The main sermon.
I did one.